Succession at Amazon. I'm David Brancaccio. You may have noticed that Amazon is more than just an online bookstore. The person who guided that transition into a $1.5 trillion firm, Jeff Bezos, is stepping down as CEO. He'll be replaced by a top lieutenant. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
David, executives at Amazon were quick to point out that Bezos isn't going anywhere. He's taking on a new role, executive chairman. Day-to-day operations will be the purview of the new CEO, Andy Jassy, who's been the head of the company's cloud computing unit. That's Amazon Web Services. Now, that unit has been enormously profitable. It made up about half of all of Amazon's profit in the last quarter. Bezos' new title is executive chairman. It means he'll still likely be involved in big decisions at the company. We spoke to corporate governance expert Dave Larker of Stanford University about this, and he said that does raise a question.
What remains to be seen when you have these sort of settings is how involved will Bezos be in terms of the operations? Is he going to let the new CEO really do his thing, or is there going to be second-guessing involved?
Novo, why do you think he picked now?
Well, Bezos gave us some clues in an email to employees, which Amazon published on its corporate blog. He said being CEO keeps him from fully focusing on new initiatives and growth opportunities, things he called his passions. And that's where he intends to put his energies now, including his aerospace company Blue Origin and the Washington Post, which he also owns.
Nova, thank you. Markets, the S&P future is up 0.4%, the NASDAQ future up 0.7%. Volatile stock, GME, GameStop, those were worth $400 each for a moment last week. They're worth $90 this morning after falling 30% Monday and 60% yesterday. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin and Iowa Representative Cindy Axne have just introduced a bill that would, if passed, waive income taxes on the first $10,000 or so of unemployment benefits. At the moment, unemployment is taxable, as Marketplace's Samantha Fields reminds us.
Every year when tax season rolls around, Mark Stieber at Jackson Hewitt Tax Service says people will come in to do their taxes, and one of the questions he'll ask is,
did you claim unemployment? And they say, well, yeah, I was unemployed for 6 or 8 weeks. And you say, well, that's taxable. And they all go, what?
Nearly 40% of people Jackson Hewitt surveyed in the fall said they didn't know that unemployment insurance is taxable. People can choose to have taxes taken out of their benefits during the year, but most don't, says Elaine Mogg at the Tax Policy Center.
People were very desperate for income, and so they might have been loath to reduce that income that was coming into their house.
But now, she says, a lot of people will be surprised to find that they owe taxes or that their refund is a lot smaller than they were expecting.
People expect their tax refunds and then they use it to do things like go to the doctor or go to the dentist.
And not getting that money, Mogg says, could have a real impact on people's lives and on the economy. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
With California businesses reopening, with that state's coronavirus stay-at-home order lifted, there's now the scramble to get back into the flow. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports on one hard-hit industry where a large number of proprietors are women of color.
When the winter stay-at-home order first went into effect 2 months ago, some California salon owners decided to stay open anyway.
It was like a speakeasy.
Ari, whose last name is being withheld because she violated the order, owns a salon in Oakland. She told her employees they didn't have to come in. Those who wanted to worked out a schedule.
So we all picked a day where we were the only one in that space, and that was our day.
This was the second shutdown in California, and Ari says she didn't know how she could pay her bills without any income. She applied for PPP loans twice and says she was denied both times without explanation.
I definitely had moments where I'm like, okay, I don't know if we'll make it.
For some, staying open came at an extra risk, like Lauren, whose last name we're also withholding. She runs another Oakland salon and stayed open by papering over the windows.
I'm immunocompromised, so I was really kind of screening the people, you know, just to make sure that they were being safe.
But she says she saw no other options. The rent bills were piling up, and the winter lockdown came at the worst possible moment for her business.
It's almost guaranteed that that is going to be your busiest month is December.
Lauren's barbershop has been open for less than a year, so she wasn't eligible for the PPP loans. The California Department of Public Health and the Alameda County Public Health Department didn't respond to requests for comment. But there are fines for salons that violate state orders, and some could lose their licenses. The Professional Beauty Federation of California, a trade group, sued the state last month to overturn the order. Fred Jones is the group's lawyer.
The last thing you want to do is force these primarily women, many of color and first-generation immigrants, is incentivize them to go underground.
Pam Martinez runs a salon in San Marcos outside of San Diego. She stayed closed during lockdown and has been dealing with clients who, during that time, turned to amateur stylists.
I have one customer that had a third-degree skin burn. She needs to go see a doctor, and I won't touch her because I'm afraid.
Now, with the order lifted, she's suddenly booked solid for the next 3 months. Martinez is thrilled, but also concerned about another shutdown. California is still in the grips of infection, so for now, she's cutting, coloring, and coiffing like there's no tomorrow. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
And there's news. The publication Business Insider is changing its name and will now just be called Insider. That's funny. We were thinking of changing our program to simply Mark. I'm David Brancaccia with The Place. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.